Okay, Sunday night. This is the Sunday Parshas Pinchas. It's the sixth shiur of this, we'll call it semester. The fifth shiur in Perek Dalet of Chodesh of Shara Bitochon. And Leilui Nishmas Chaim Ephraim Reb Nosson. We don't have the same... do you all have the same sefer? I could tell you where it is in the news. Yes. Okay, maybe I should get this also.
I can share with you.
Stop using this. We're in Perek. No. Not now. Okay, we're in Perek Dalet.
406, 407 is the pages on.
Okay, we're after he talked about suicide and taking care of yourself. Okay, Yigia Kapech Sochel Ashrecha Vitovlach. Okay, here we are. Okay, on page 404, in the paragraph that starts with the word Ukamosha Amarnu, so a few lines down, he talks about a farmer has to go do so much work and still maintain his bitachon, which is counterintuitive and very difficult, but nobody said life is easy. So he has to, on one hand, do what he has to do and realize that it's not up to his efforts will be blessed by Hashem. It's not going to depend and be dependent on his efforts. Even though if he doesn't make his efforts, it won't happen. Okay, the aim. Okay, so we'll start with the words like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like 10 lines down in that paragraph. B'chein Balei HaMalacha. All different types of parnosos. He has to do it, he has to do it, the hishtadlus of parnosa. Im habitochen hashalem al Hashem yisale, sha parnosa biyado ubershuso, v'shu achroi la'odem. It's not the same words. It's like, okay, Belina, Mrs. Schaefer, do you have a Chavis Halvodas here, not this, in the house? Because we might as well...
The original? Yours?
Well, not the Arabic, but...
Not your translation?
No. Now that I see that everyone has the classic Chavis Halvodas that you buy in a store, so I'll start using that too here. I feel weird, like, saying different words and everyone's following along. That's the classic translation by Ibn Thibault. Do you happen to have a Chavis Halvodas on your bookshelf somewhere? All right, so next time, if you
this
follow,
is not the same.
It's a different translation. This is Rav Kapach's translation. He went straight from the Arabic and he wrote his own Hebrew. The Hebrew of Ibn Thibon is
different, but I've been able to.
It's difficult. Okay, fine. Okay.
I think Rav Kapach's more accurate because he knew Arabic.
Ibn Thibon knew Arabic also. Ibn Thibon was the translator par excellence for the Rambam, for the Chavis Halvavos. He writes a more difficult Hebrew. Rav Kapach writes a more flowing to us Hebrew, and that's why I prefer it. But the classic sefer, when you go into a store and you buy Chavis Halvavos, you can end up with Ibn Thibon's translation. Rav Kapach is like an upstart. He's not okay now. So any Baal Malacha has to maintain this dichotomy to realize that. It's almost an impossible task. We've said it countless times to not think that it's really the Siba that's doing it, his Ishtadlos that's doing it. Otazik lo b'me'uma. I want to step back for a moment and talk and say something to the ladies. you know, if you learn Shulchan Aruch, you learn Dinim. So I could say Usser, and everybody, okay, Usser. And I could say Mutter, and everybody writes down Mutter. So very clear cut, no gray area. You know, Mutter, Usser, I say Mutter, Usser. Bitachon, it's just not like that. And, you know, we're sitting here learning it, and I have to remind everyone, please, you know, you have to, the first three prakim said how to develop bitachon. And it's everybody's things that in a class setting, please excuse the expression, like I'm talking and people are listening, they sound, I'm very keenly aware, maybe I'm overly sensitive, that it sounds theoretical and not real. So I always urge people, we're just learning, like, this is like a half hour a week, but 45 minutes, but life, you know, everyone has to really develop their own level of bitachon, and a lot of questions that might naturally occur to you, what do you do in this situation, and how do you know what to do? So, you know, so we'll learn certain guidelines and theories and answers, but really, I firmly believe that as whoever develops, is conscious of bitachon and works at it using the first three prakim, the first three prakim tell you how to, that's the handbook of how to develop it, will find their own level. Someone asks me, like, what about whole wheat bread? I hold that you're going to be able to answer that yourself. Everyone's going to find their own level, and they're going to be able to say, yeah, I know that this is baloney, or I know that this is, I don't really have to do this because Hashem's in charge anyway. Or they'll say, no, this is my hishtadlus, this is what I have to do. And people intuitively develop their intuition about what's correct to do, what's incorrect for them. And, you know, ultimately, the ultimate bitachon is a lifetime of work. So, okay, that's I wanted to say that. It's on my head. And that's why, please let me make one more point. If you go through the mitzvahs and the Torah, there's so much, I'll call it redundancy. If we think about, you know, we say Kriya Shema every day, and there's mezuzah, and there's kiddush, and we take challah, and we just, like, because it's so hard. Life tugs at us and pulls us away from Hashem, because life is real, tangible things. And Hashem, you know, he's not tangible. It's all theoretical. And that's why all these things, like, you take challah and you kiss the mezuzah because it reminds you that there's a mezuzah there, and we daven and we make brachas, and it's all, we keep pounding away, pounding, like the politicians, you know, they put up signs. So why don't they put up one sign? They put up like 100 signs. They're hoping after 100 signs, like, it'll make some dent, because we live in a world of noise, they call it. The social scientists call it noise. There's a lot of noise out there. And you got to make a dent. So Hashem knows that the world is, you know, it's counterintuitive that there's a Hashem out there. If we delve into it and we say, wow, there is some force in the universe that's directing the world, that's directing history, that created this world. But, you know, if you don't take that leap, if you don't take that step, so, you know, yeah. If I open the store at 10 o'clock and 9 o'clock, I'll earn the same amount of money. Yeah, sure. Sure, Rabbi. You do that. You know. But that's what we're learning. It really doesn't make a difference. Unless someone's ready to say, you know, that the customers come at 9, and if you're closed, that's it. So then it would be included in your hishtadlus. But you'll realize that. You'll realize that yourself as you develop your own level. And really, everything, well, there's a Gemara in Makkos that says they kept whittling down the Torah into fundamental principles. So for this one whittled it down to 13 fundamental principles, and then 11 fundamental principles. And the final one is Tzadik Be'emunah So Yechya. You know, really, like, if you keep refining and refining and refining and refining, it boils down that there's a Hashem in the world, and he's running the world, and he wants what's best for me, and he's directing everything. So that's what we have to live with. But getting back to the Chayvus Halvavus, he says, V'chasher tvo'eyu parnasoso be'echad me'ofanei hasiba shumasasek ben, when he gets his parnasa, ro'i lo shalo yisragel, this is very demanding. He's saying like this, he's making a point now that's like, he says, you know, if you're poor and you're not earning parnasa, and things are not working, and you're trying and you're struggling, so it's easy to have bitachon, because you feel helpless and powerless. So you say, okay, Hashem, help me, Hashem, help me. But when now he's saying, you know, if it works, the farmer plants the seed and fertilizes the land, and, you know, and he prunes, and he clips, and he was out there working, and then it grows. So then, you know, the easiest thing, you know, thanks, Hashem. You know, no thanks. You know, because Allah says, when you get your parnasa, it's much harder to have bitachon when things are working right than when they're not working so well. When they're not working so well, you feel helpless, and you turn to a higher power in the hope, hey, you know, like they say in the New York State Lottery, you know, you never know. Maybe there's a Hashem out there. Maybe he'll help me. I can't do worse than I do now. I'm all messed up. So you daven, yeah. But when things are going good, it's working, it's clapping. You open your store, you get the customers, you advertise, and the farmer works, and you buy stocks, and you, and it works. Then it's much harder to have bitachon. That's what he's describing now, that phenomenon. The chasher tvo'eyu parnosa, so when you get your parnosa through working, be'echad me'afani hasiba shumasasik bohen, ro'i lo shelo yisragel le'os hasiba. Don't lose yourself. Don't get excited. Don't say, oh, my stockbroker is the best. My fertilizer is the best. My whatever it is, Don't get caught up in this image that you did it. You were successful. The Yosef lahachzikba. Ki oz yachlosh bitchono al Hashem. Because you'll lose. The bitachon will slip away, slide away. It'll melt. It'll leak out. And this is why in history and in Chumash and in Nach, the nisayon of wealth is a much more difficult nisayon than the nisayon of Oni. And that's constant. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot. And history, unfortunately, history shows that when things are going well, it's a much more difficult nisayon to turn to Hashem than when you're having problems. So that's what he's saying here. When you earn your parnasa, don't fall in love with your job. Don't fall. It's not your job that's getting you the parnasa. Ella ein roi lo. Ella ein roi lo lachshov shehi toel lo. You have to say, I am not earning a grush more. I almost said a penny more. A grush more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have. You have to believe that. You have to say it, and you have to believe it, and you have to internalize that. And everything's clicking. The cash register keeps ringing up. The money is flowing in. Baruch Hashem. Oh, Baruch Hashem. It's Hashem doing it, not this. And if I would have a different job, you have to... I'm not joking. You have to believe that if you would have a different job, all this money would be coming in. Hashem wants you to have this money. Hashem doesn't care what you do. Hashem doesn't care what... So follow the Chavis Halvavus' rules. It should be something that you find fulfillment in, that you have job satisfaction from, that you feel you're accomplishing something in the world, something has to be done, and you're filling a niche, a void, you're stepping in, it does something for you, there's a void in your heart, in your makeup that you feel this is something that I want to do. I want to do this with my life. This is a worthwhile thing to do. Those are the Chayyus Halavos' rules. He says, follow my rules, and then realize that Hashem will provide you with the parnasa. Therefore, don't fall in love with your job. You know what you should thank Hashem for? Listen what he says. I'm telling you, every line of Chayyus Halavos is so valuable. He says, thank Hashem that gives you parnasa achar isuko. Below ichsev amolo v'yagio, and he didn't make you feel, you know, you could open the store and do all your work. The farmer can go through, do all his work, all his ishtadlus, and plant and plow and fertilize and do everything, and you know, it doesn't grow. The Arabic comes, or it doesn't rain, or it was a bad year for the crop. A windstorm came. And you feel, you know, like the Jews in the Mitzrayim. They kept building it, and it kept falling. Building, falling. They felt purposeless. When your parnasa knacks, says the Chayyus Halavos, thank Hashem for two things. Thank Him that He's giving you the parnasa. It's not your job that's giving you the parnasa, it's Him. And thank, listen what He wants you to do. And thank Hashem that you don't feel like that you're laboring for naught. Thank Hashem because He doesn't have to give you parnasa. And then you did all the work and you're empty-handed and you feel, what did I work for? This is like impossible. What does the Chayyus Halavos want from us? He wants us to work and to realize that we're just going through the motions because Hashem wants us to do this. To realize that Hashem's providing us through the channel that we created, Hashem's providing us with parnasa. Then He wants us to thank Hashem, not only for providing us parnasa, but he says it's a very human, normal hergish, not to feel that what you did gave you the parnasa. Chas v'sholem, you have to think Hashem gave you the parnasa, but I didn't work for nothing. It worked. The system worked. I did mine. And Hashem did His. You find fulfillment in that. But if you thank Hashem, it's a bracha. There's people that go to work every day and open the store and work hard, and you know, doesn't work. So not only don't they have parnasa, but they feel what we say in the Volatzio, Laman lo nigalo rik. You know, they're working. People struggle, they put years of effort into things, and it doesn't work. They're mitachzev, that's the word he uses, right? Below ichzev. Thank Hashem for that also, that you don't feel mitachzev in what you did. That you don't feel like you built peace home in Ramses and it kept sinking into the mud again. That's a special thing you have to give Hashem. That He made you feel useful. He made you feel like you did something. You created the So what did you do? But I didn't do anything. Hashem did it all. You created, but Hashem goes there that it should go through the channel of your hishtadlus, and you thank Hashem that you find fulfillment. That you were not lo niga lo rik. You weren't your gay lo rik. You accomplished. You did. What did you do? You did yours, Hashem did His. Perfect team, a good team. So you thank Hashem for that. Right? Kemosha Omar, and that's what we say in the pasuk. Yigia kapecha kitochel, ashrecha v'tovloch. Where a person is omel, a person is yigia kapayim, and he eats the fruits of his labors. Right? Nobody wants to work, you know, and nothing happens. You know? It's in the garbage. Okay, but that was almost a side point. His main point here is he's coming back now. The next sentence goes back to his focal point, which is that despite all the hishtadlus, to remember who's the provider. V'yomer echad hatzadikim, ani tomei mimi shenosim uzuloso, ma shegozer lo Hashem etzlo. You can give someone something. Maybe it's an employer giving an employee a paycheck. Maybe it's someone giving tzedakah. It doesn't say. You provide someone with money. You give them money. You're their provider. Now, who's really the provider? Hashem. So he says, I can't understand people that demand to be thanked. And he's very careful, the Chayvus Al Bavus, because he wants the recipient to thank the giver. But he's talking now that he can't understand when the giver demands thanks, demands subservience, demands, you know, we've all met such people. They demand that they be, you know, I provided you with this, you know. You have a boss. The boss wants you to laugh at his jokes. The boss wants you to say good morning. The boss, you know, he wants his pound of flesh because he's giving you a paycheck. The tzaddik says, I don't understand. What, you think he's providing you with the paycheck? What does that have to do with him? The yoser tamua mimenu, so this tzaddik that he's quoting, can't understand. Again, he's the recipient has to thank. That's the midah of hakaras hatov. But he can't understand the giver who demands to be thanked. And the yoser tamua mimenu is the receiver, mishakibo panasoso adidei zuloso, the zemuchrach litna, but he so to speak, had to give it to you, because Hashem set it up that way. Now, he doesn't say he thanks him, because thanking is fine, you're supposed to thank. But he says, you, what's the word? There's a word up with a Q in the up. Anybody know English? Up, O-B-S-E-Q-U, like you're mamish, like you act like, you know, oh, thank you, shkoyach, you tuck away for his jokes. What? You ingratiate yourself with him. Umash balatmalo, you lose your own self-image, your own self-respect. You know, the boss tells you to do something, you want to tell him, it's not my responsibility, and I just did it yesterday, and why don't someone, you know, you're afraid of losing your job. We're not talking when a responsible person would indeed do it. Maybe I'm not giving a good marshal. I'm talking about when, you know, can you stay late today? And you can't stay late. Your wife, your husband, your children need you at home. And you know that he can manage without you. I don't have to talk about an emergency situation. So, you say yes, boss, because you're afraid. You're afraid of losing your job. You're afraid he won't like you. You're afraid he won't give you a raise. The brother says, well, what's the matter with you? Who's giving you money? He? What are you afraid of? Don't talk chutzpahdik. Right, you be a mensch, but don't, like, it's not him. And people are mashbalat malo, umachabdo, umahalalo, right, you get up at the dinner, you say, oh, you have a boss, I call it, you laugh at all his jokes. I have a boss, I laugh at all his jokes. So I like to think that if I don't laugh at his jokes, he would be insulted. I don't know. It's like to be on the bar. But maybe I'm laughing at his jokes because I'm afraid he won't give me a raise. Terrible, says Chavis Halavas. There's nothing wrong with laughing at jokes. So Chavis Halavas says when you're doing something wrong because of it. Let's say he does an avla. You would give him tochacha, but you know, you're not going to give your boss tochacha. Now the Chavis Halavas goes on to the next. If you really believe Hashem's providing you, even though you're the one opening the store in the morning, and you're the one advertising, and you're the one smiling at the customers, and ordering, and busy for 8 hours a day. But if you really believe it, then when there's a downturn in the economy, and it's a slow month, so you don't get depressed. If you don't have parnosa in the way that you've settled on doing your hishtadlus, you know, your mindset's different. Your mindset is, well, Hashem's taking care of me, so I guess I have enough money for the month. Chavis Halavas wants you to work with the day. I want to wait till we learn more of the perek to see if that is a subjective thing. We don't live by the day. I think we live by the month. I think most people live by the month, because the mortgage is by the month, and you pay the bill at the end of the month. The credit card bill comes at the end of the month. You get paid by the month. So the Chavis Halbavis' day would be the month. That's what I think. So he says, maybe you don't realize that you have enough money for the month already. I remember I was in Muncie, I had a car. I had two cars, actually, one for the mechanic and one for me. And we should have kept the diary, because it was uncanny how any month that we just had money, a little extra money, like it seems, a repair on the car. We used our car to see our connection with Hashem. And when we didn't have money, there were other normal expenses. The car was fine, nothing broke, nothing. A little extra money, car's by the mechanic, you need a new starter, a new alternator, all of that garbage. So that's what the Chavis Halbavis is saying. You earned enough money for the month already, you don't realize it, maybe. Maybe that's the pshat. You don't get depressed, you don't get nervous, you don't get tense, you don't yell, you don't go crazy, you don't quit your job, you don't take a second job so fast. What are you taking a second job for? Your job was fine for the last year, it earns you a parnasa. So now it's a slow season. Maybe it's enough money for you, maybe Hashem wants to give you an isayon. Your mindset is... The bitachon mindset is just, you're living with Hashem and you just have that serenity. O shehit tevoa b'ofen acher, the car won't break, you won't go to the doctor this month, so it won't cost you taxis and a babysitter and this, you'll get your money then that you need.
So what about when you're having a bad month, parnasa wise, and then the car breaks? And you need a new motor for your washing machine, and this thing has to be replaced. Like the opposite of what, like then what? Then what are you supposed to?
Then you say that.
All at once.
What do you say? You say what happens when things don't go the way we'd like them to go. You say, well, I guess this is what's best for me at this stage in my life.
And you're not gonna have enough for that month.
No one's going to starve to death. So so a person does what they have to do. Mm-hmm. And they say, this is what Hashem wants me to do at this point in my life. Right? That's how you look at it when good things don't happen. Life does not work out the way we like it to. But again, the Chavis Halbavis is trying to impress upon us, first of all, that the more bitachon you have, the more things will go the way you'd like them to. Even though not always, there are no promises and no guarantees. Bitachon is it's not something we can quantify and say, okay. But we're learning Chavis Halbavis, and we're ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. And the Chavis Halbavis is the father of bitachon. And he says the more bitachon you develop, the more things will indeed work out. That's not the definition of bitachon, but it will. And when you have a bad month and you have to go into debt, first of all, I don't know, going into debt, so maybe that's this month, maybe next month you'll have extra money. The person will have extra money. If indeed, there are people who fall deeper and deeper into debt. So at some point you say to yourself, I'm an ani. Hashem, you look up the Gemara, and Hashem goes there on the Tipa Shel Vlad before it's born, if it'll be a Chacham, or a not such a Chacham, or a Gibar, or a Chalash, or an Ani, or an Ashir. And you say, well, I'm talking, Hashem's going to give me what I need. Then when enough happens that you say, I don't have what I need, say, Hashem was geizer on me to be an ani. My shleimus is in being an ani and coping with that. Now, how do you cope with anius? It was a major question. We can't solve all the problems of the world around the table tonight. Some aniim take staka. Some people would not take staka. They'll do anything in the world other than take staka. Right? That's already a personal decision a person makes. Some people, that's how you cope. The Baal B'tochen copes when things don't go the way they want. you're already, it's not a sudden attack. You're ready for it. You've developed your bitachon already. So you know, Hashem, remember, you've gone through the first three prakim. So you've already developed and internalized the belief that Hashem does what's best for you at any given moment, and that Hashem loves you and will always do what's best for you, and He knows what your neshama needs. So if push comes to shove, and you have to leave, a person has to leave their apartment because they can't afford the rent. So I said, oh, Hashem doesn't want me to live here anymore. I have other fish to fry somewhere else. Sometimes it gets very, very rough. So Anius is in the Sion, and it happens. People are Anium. There are Anium in the world. And you deal with it because you have that safety valve called bitachon. But don't blame the sibas. Don't say, if I would have been a stockbroker, this wouldn't have happened. That's what the Chavis Olavis doesn't want you to say. That's the main thing. He wants you to maintain your emunah, your bitachon. And don't say, if I only would have listened to my father and become an accountant. If I only... It's baloney. Jews don't talk that way. You would have the same money you have now. Even if you would have going into a different field, and the lowly strashel of the sasik b'hem, you just make sure you're following the rules. Chavis always wants you to follow his rules. It fits your tchunas hanefesh. Remember, don't become a hovalah guy if you're a 98-pound weakling, right? And don't try to become a professor of physics if you can't add one and one. Do things which are matim. Life is hard. You have to be brutally honest with yourself. Even if you want to do that little thing that the Chavis Halevah says to do, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are my tchunas hanefesh? What are my capabilities? A lot of people, who knows? Maybe half the aniyim in the world are because they're not following the Chavis Halevah's rules, and they try to do something which is totally not matim for them. Maybe a lot of aniyim are out there because they try to make a quick buck by investing. And they didn't believe that you don't make a quick buck. There's no such thing. If Hashem wants, you don't... So now they're aniyim. You see, I think we don't realize how often the dynamic of the Chavis Halevah's rule is in play. Which is that the more bitachon you have, the more things will be okay. And when you see people that are messed up, if you would delve into their lives, and I'm speaking now as a Rav, that people come to me with their issues, and I was on a Beis Din and I saw people's issues. I could tell you 70% of the time they clearly shot themselves in the foot. Clearly. Either through lack of bitachon, so they chased after some pot of gold at the end of some rainbow, or the way they acted, or the way they dealt with people, because they didn't have bitachon. I could almost document it. So their relationships were shot, their relationships were messed up, their Ehrlichkeit in business was shot, and then things happen. And then they go, Hashem, you're a mate there, what's going on? They shot them, 70% of the time they shot themselves in the foot. I could look around. I'm telling you, if you look around people and you delve into their lives already, that's what you'll find. You'll find they shot themselves in the foot most of the overwhelming majority of times.
But many of them don't know better.
What?
Many of them don't know better.
How do you know? Hashem knows
many
the answer to that.
Don't
you don't know that. We don't.
The
no, no, no. That's
don't do the
wait, wait, wait.
Fish on a fish or get caught in a system that
yeah.
pushes them, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. We see it so much in that.
It's not. The dynamic of the Chavis Halevah is not a punishment, but it's a natural cause and effect. The more bitachon you have, the more Hashem will take care of you, mm-hmm. and the less bitachon you have, the more Hashem says, "Okay, fella, have it your way." It's not a punishment. It's That's how Hashem structured the world.
What about this system that we see, so tight system?
For example,
what education system.
I don't know what you're referring to. How hard it is to get into a school? I don't know what you're referring to.
Boys don't get secular education.
Boys who are pushed, who the system is such that they're going to sit and learn. They're going to sit and learn. There's no...
Whoa, how did we get there?
They're going to sit...
I lost you.
I'm talking about...
Do you know, how many people do you know, how many, can I challenge you? How many people do you know that are poor because they sat and learned and didn't have what to do? I know 10 times as many people that went through the system of higher education and are poor. I'm not saying, Chavis HaLovis is the first to say, get off your tuchis and earn money, go get a job. That's Chavis HaLovis. No one, the Chavis HaLovis doesn't say go to Kollel. He says go get a job. But there's no but. I know very few people who are poor because they have no skills, because they went to yeshiva and they never learned skills. Not that that's a preferred way to live. But I know plenty of people with all the skills in the world. And,
100% on both sides, but I'm saying that they don't. Where's the hishtadlus when you're pushed through a system, you know, as a whole, as a community?
But the Baal Bitachon, well, that's why we're here in this shir. The Baal Bitachon won't allow himself to be pushed by the system, because he won't be worried about a shidduch. He won't be worried about external pressures. That was the very first thing the Chacham Soloveitchik said in his Hakdama. The Baal Bitachon will figure out the way he wants to live, and he won't give in to outside pressures. He'll just do what has to be done.
He'll follow what is matim for his
Well, everybody, either his Rebbe or his parents. I mean, you know, everybody has their, or their rav. You know, however, but the Chavis HaLovis says in Shari Yichud HaMaisa, where we can learn the whole sefer. It's a wonderful sefer, Chavis HaLovis. I love it. He says, you know something? Most people do most of the things that they do because they're worried what other people will think of them. That's what he says in Shari Yichud HaMaisa, flat out. He says, it's not a way to live. You have to figure out what you want to do, what's right, what Hashem wants you to do, and do it. What are you looking at? And he says, people are not like that. Most people do most things because of what other people will say or think of them. That's it.
But nowadays...
Let's make the Bitachon Club.
Specifically when it comes to Shidduchim, and I'm not in this parsha yet, Baruch Hashem, but I've spoken to people who say that it's like this incredible pressure, you know, you
it's
have to
not
buy the
true.
Diamond
it's
ring
phony,
and you have to buy the
baloney,
watch, and if you don't have the money to buy the ring and the diamond watch, how are you going to make a
Shidduch? Wait a second, what? Nobody knows if you're going to buy the watch before they become Chasson Kala.
If you're not willing to uphold a certain standard, then they won't even look at you.
Well, so then you write for somebody who will.
I'm looking you in the face and telling you it's not true.
I'd love to know that it's not true.
It's not true. I know it's not true. I'm not myself. I'm not going to talk about myself. It's not true. You do what you can do. You don't try to get away with murder and say, you do what you can do. And I say, oh, please, Mrs. Klopp.
Yeah. I would love to know that too. I'm so scared.
You don't need
don't
me. You have our Bromio. You have Chazal. You need Malinowitz. You have Chazal. You have the Gemara.
But then you have the people who sit around.
Don't listen to people. What are you listening to people for?
You got to buy the diamond ring, and you got to buy the watch, and you got to buy the apartment, and you got.
I lost
you.
I lost you with the diamond ring.
5 years of rent.
Stop! It's baloney. It's not true. Ain't no MS. Ain't no MS.
There you are, found a wonderful shidduch for me.
Ain't no MS. It's ain't no MS. I married off 5 children in Eretz Yisrael. You're not looking right. So if you would have asked me 10 years ago, how are you going to marry your 5 children in Eretz Yisrael? I would say, well, if I have $500,000, I guess I can, right? and you're not looking at a person that has $500,000, and you ask me each one how they got married. Each one, Hashem worked it out. You know, I'm not saying I was a cheapskate. If you become a cheap, no, if you're a cheapskate and a chanami, you deserve not to do a shidduch.
Have to follow the rules to a certain extent.
No.
What if you can afford it, but you just don't believe in it? You think it's wrong.
If you sincerely think it's wrong, you're not
if
being
you
a cheapskate.
Sincerely.
Don't worry, Hashem will take
if you
care
think
of
it's
you.
All such a
who are you afraid of? Hashem will take care of you. Hashem is pleased with your shita. Well, Hashem thinks you're trying to get away with murder. You ready to face Hashem and say, I really think it's wrong?
Yeah.
You ready to face Hashem with that?
I think so.
So then what are you worried about? Hashem will take care of you. How old is your son? I have to do it. My son's seven. I have a daughter like five.
I have 2 7-year-old girls.
Seven they are? No, my youngest is like seven also. Right. Not so good.
Yeah.
Don't, really?
But
MS,
yeah.
It's really tough.
It's
only tough
because
I want to say something very cruel. Mrs. Powell, I want to say something very cruel. Please be mochel me. I'm saying, can you give me permission?
Please.
It's what you say. It's very rough. It's only rough if you don't have bitachon. I gotta tell you. Go back to the first three prakim. And dance through life with a smile on your lips, and don't worry, and you'll do shidduchim. And I'm telling you, I mean, I was also worried, but you work on yourself. Bitachon's not easy, and we're in a system where how am I going to marry off my daughter without coming up with $300,000 minimum? Yeah, I didn't come up with $300,000. My counterfeit machine broke. I didn't come up with that. Hashem takes care. He does. He really, really does.
I had a conversation with someone who said, we didn't have with the chassan and the kal, and they were supposed to provide.
What? You're talking to too many people.
No, and she says to me, we didn't have the money. Of course, we didn't have the money to buy. Listen to this. Of course, we didn't have the money to buy a diamond ring. But thank God, we only have one son, and we have a diamond in the family from some grandparent, and we gave the kala this. And I'm thinking, well, why is it so important that the kala needs to have a diamond?
And what would have happened if they wouldn't have given her a diamond ring? The shidduch would have broken off.
I don't know, but yet.
So then, was it the right thing to do to give them that diamond ring? To have a diamond ring in the family, it's considered a societal norm to give a kala an engagement ring. Was it the right thing to do, or they could have hoarded it in their safe? I think it was the right thing to do. You have a diamond in the family, you can't afford it, give it to the kala. Kala expects a diamond ring. Well, what's wrong? They did the right thing.
But if you have your own ideas...
If they did it because they were afraid the shidduch would break off, then they did the wrong thing, and B, they shot themselves in the foot if they took such a boy.
No, but what I'm having trouble with...
Such a girl, whatever.
But what I'm having trouble with is this need to conform.
There's no need to conform. Break out of it. Mrs. Kwalwasa, you're putting yourself in jail.
It's not about the money. Either.
You're putting yourself in jail. Absolutely. Why do you put yourself in jail? Bring a free spirit.
Because everybody else is putting themselves in jail.
You are the only one that can put yourself in jail. Nobody can do it to you.
Don't worry, I don't think everybody can do it to you.
You're doing it to yourself. Please, be mindful of me. And also, I have to ask you, Mechila, I'd love to stay here another 2 hours. I can't even stay another 2 minutes. They changed the bus schedules. Mm-hmm. There's now a 10 o'clock bus, and after that,
I don't know.
Oh, welcome to Thomas. Oh, no, she and